Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Super Bowl 54 matchup is officially set. And according to Fox Bet, the Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites against the 49ers. It's a classic strength versus strength matchup with Patrick Mahomes' offense facing off against the Niners' tough defense. So, Shannon, which way are you leaning so far?
I'm leaning.
Where are you going?
Chiefs. My homeboy.
Okay.
Because I trust my homeboy. I trust him. I got the utmost confidence in him. Because if you can do what he did yesterday, Skip, you know it was 17 at the time of kickoff. They say the wind chill put it down to 5. Mm. And he's spinning the ball like that. Mm. Can you imagine on a nice, brisk February Miami. Night in Miami, it's going to probably be 75, 80 degrees, what he can do?
Mm. Ooh. It might be too different, actually.
Look, think about it. 2 weeks, 8 touchdown passes, 1 rush, 0 interception. Very careful with the football. Mm. Even though he throws it like it. So we ain't got no problem, Skip. You know, some teams like, well, we want to run it. We throw it. Mahomes, throw it 50, throw it 60 times. What concerns me about them, Skip, is that they don't have a back that can run time off the clock. Mm. And if you saw yesterday when they got up to the big lead, they really had to throw the ball, swing passes, a lot of, you know, stuff like that to try to take the air out of the game. But the 49ers are for real. The thing that concern, of all the things that concern me, 49ers are very talented. The things that concern me the most, Skip, Chiefs defense. Mm. They make too many bonehead plays that get you beat. Mm. You jump off sides 4 times and give people first downs,
they did.
You get beat. You go illegal hands to the face, 15 yards, you get beat. It's 3rd and 22. I just need to know, Breland, why the hell are you playing bump coverage?
You're playing grab coverage, right?
Skip, it's situational football. If they throw the ball and complete a 10-yard or 12-yard pass, mm-hmm. so what? They still got 4th and 10. Mm. The only thing that can give them a first down, you gave them a first down on a 7-yard route because you were holding. They make dumb plays. Dumb play, the bigger the game, dumb plays get you beat. Now, I thought they would look D-Ford lining up offsides. I thought they had gotten out of that, Skip. I thought jumping offsides last year, they learned their lesson. Mm.
But D-Ford's now 49?
49. Clearly they didn't. Mm. So that's the thing that concerns me most is the mistakes that the defense, because if I'm not mistaken, Skip, all the penalties came from the defense side of the football. You get beat. You get beat, you play that like that in a game of this mm-hmm. magnitude, the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So now you're sort of wavering. You're on the fence a little bit.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to be shocked by. Mm. If this game is not in the mid-70s, it might be the highest scoring game ever. I can see a situation, Skip. This is a 45-38, a 45-42 ball game because both of these offenses are explosive.
Mm. So you won 2 Super Bowls playing for a coach named Shanahan.
Yeah.
His name was Mike Shanahan. Am I right about that?
Very.
Mike Shanahan is now the de facto head coach, the unofficial head coach of the 49ers.
He helps out a lot.
You could say he's the assistant head coach if you want to go that far. But game plans, he is contributing heavily to.
Mm-hmm.
His son is a chip off that old block because he's taken it. He might even have taken it up a notch mm-hmm. in creativity, sure. cleverness,
yes.
guts, uh-huh. how you finesse teams, and then how you overpower teams. Mm-hmm. Because one thing I know about this matchup, the 49ers are the more physical football
team. Absolutely.
They just are. Andy Reid has never had what I would call a physical football team. Mm. I thought their defense played pretty physically yesterday,
right.
but I still wouldn't consider it a physical defense.
No.
The 49ers will get after you in both trenches. I think they're a little better in both trenches. That's just me because their offensive line, nobody talks about it. It just steamrolls people. It blows people off the ball. With almost what looks like rage to me, where they just delight in it after a while, and they are knocking people 4 and 5 yards off the football.
And what that does, Skip, because they can run the ball so well, it slows down the pass rush, because you're not finna be running up the field, and there's a lane, and there's Mostert going for 20 yards. That's what slows them down. Green Bay, The Smith was neutralized. The Smith boys were neutralized because they're trying to catch and try to shed somebody to make a tackle. How can I get up the field when I got a tight end or fullback or offensive lineman in my chest and here come Mostert running downhill? That's what makes them so good in all areas because they can run it so well. Defensive linemen can't just pin their ears back and say, okay, we're going to get the quarterback like the 49ers started doing yesterday once they realized the Packers had gotten down and they weren't going to run the football. Mm. All of a sudden, Bosa, Armstead, those guys started to eat.
Okay. So, to your point, let's see, Patrick Mahomes or Jimmy Garoppolo? Mahomes, Garoppolo. I think I'll go Mahomes.
I think so.
But I'm still leaning 49ers because of all the other factors in the football game. If it degenerates to those two going at it, throw for throw, you're going to win this game. If the 49ers can play 49er football, and if they can put the heat on Patrick Mahomes that Tennessee failed to put on because they the idiotic three-man rushes. But this is a four-man rush often, sometimes five, but it's four, and they are a really good four.
Yeah.
They can often get home with four.
Yes.
They harassed and finally just befuddled Aaron Rodgers yesterday because he's not sure where the next guy's coming from. And I don't think Aaron has the stomach to step into a lot of throws into that kind of pass rush. So Mahomes is going to get bothered early in this game and often in this game in ways he was not bothered by the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
So if you got that on your side, and then you've got that zone, outside zone running game where you're just here and there and here and there, and you can pound it and control the clock and basically keep Jimmy G out of the game, I think you got a chance. Now, Jimmy G's still got a big arm. He's sort of like Ryan Tannehill.
He can make throws.
He can make some throws. He's going to have to make a few more than he did yesterday.
And the thing was, Skip, if you remember late in the ball game, even though they were running the ball to take more time off the clock, Jimmy G had to throw some passes. He completed one to George Kittle.
That was a huge one. That was his best throw of the game, or biggest throw of the game.
Right. So, yeah, he's going to have to make some throws. But the thing is, but you don't because they haven't come into a play this playoffs, Emmanuel Sanders and Deebo Samuels and those guys can still make plays now. Don't underestimate them because they've been the one thing that you must do, Skip. If you play in the West Coast offense and you play receiver, you got to block. They're the best blocking receivers in all of football. Now, I remember times when I was playing for Kyle's father, Mike, that Mike didn't think the receivers were physical enough in the run game. And we go 9-on-7. Now, you know what 9-on-7 is. There is no threat or no pass.
Mm-hmm.
Mike says, okay, you didn't want to block on Sunday. I'm going to see if you're going to block today. Because there's no threat of the pass, and you're going to have to dig the safeties out.
Okay.
You're going to have to block those corners. So you look at Emmanuel Sanders, you look at Deebo Samuels, you look at the Samuels, you look at those receivers. Anytime you run the football for 200 plus yards, your receivers are getting after people.
So what did Kittle say on ESPN last night after the game about Emmanuel Sanders? He got one target, caught no balls in the game. This is Emmanuel Sanders.
Yes.
How many? There'd be games in Denver where he'd catch, I don't know, 10, 5, 12.
112. Right? He went for over 100 against the Patriots in the championship game.
Okay, got it. Kittle said that Emmanuel was back in the locker room crowing about all the good blocks he had made.
Yes.
Because it has been instilled in those receivers, they cannot be diva receivers.
No.
We don't have Odell going here. We don't have Odell versus Jarvis here for who gets the most targets and balls. We got who threw the best blocks.
That says a lot.
And Kittle is, you know, again.
Kittle, I watched him yesterday. He did a number on the Smith boys.
He did.
Skip, he did a number.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. He's the best complete tight end in football. He's the most complete tight end in football. He might be the most complete tight end. He might even be a better blocker than Gronk, Skip. If you watch him, his hand placement, the way he steps and set that edge, listen, you talk to us. That wasn't my cup of tea. You know, I did a couple of times a game, did it? But I was trying to get out like a scout on a new route.
When it was time to block, you were drinking a cup of tea.
Yeah, you know
right?
what I'm saying? That wasn't my cup of tea. Yeah. They normally put me on backside.
Yeah.
They let Dwayne Carswell House, we call him. You handle that stuff front side.
Okay.
I got the back over here. Come see me a little later in the fourth quarter.
But you were big play Shay.
Yeah.
You had to make that one
Skip,
big play.
You watch, if this is clinic, this is textbook, the way he steps and the way he sets and gets his hands inside and turns that shoulder and drives upfield, it's a thing of beauty.
Mm.
Kittle is for real.
Well, I wasn't sure Raheem Mostert was for real because he led this team in special teams tackles also.
Yeah, he's a gunner.
He's a gunner.
Yes.
He's a special teams player. But he also led this team in rushing, not by a lot, but by some.
Right.
And yesterday, he really led it in rushing because he got 29 carries, and I didn't think a 180-pounder could hold up with That's a lot of carries. A lot of carries. He's a sore young man.
For a second there, I thought our good friend OED, he started like, because you say, I'm not worried about Henry getting 248. It wasn't Henry you should have been worried about. It was Mostert.
It was Mostert.
But that first was player down the with 220 and four touchdowns. That
right.
is the first with
and,
the four
and,
touchdowns.
And I think he and Eric are now the only two to go 220 plus in a playoff game.
Right.
I think
correct,
so.
Yeah.
But he got four touchdowns
four.
On top of his.
He
was, those
he,
numbers.
You know, Eric's numbers came against my Dallas Cowboys.
I know you haven't
but he was, I was there.
But guess what, Skip? West Coast offense against West Coast offense.
Yep.
Because that's where Andy cut his teeth. He runs that. Kyle Shanahan runs the West Coast. It's going to be a thing of beauty.
Hey,
I'm going to be shocked.
This is a fascinating matchup. Again, what's our spread now? Point and a half.
1.5.
I wonder what's the over-under? I bet you the over-under at least 60.
I think it was around high 50s.
It's got to be. Because they know what's coming. It's coming, Skip.
Well, would you believe there's never been a Super Bowl spread that ended at pick'em? Like at game time, it was pick'em. I think this one might have a shot.
Might
have a shot.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So 25 years for San Francisco since they've won. 50 for the Chiefs. I mean, these fan bases, it's going to be wild in Miami. I'm looking forward to it.
It is a fascinating matchup.
It really is.
Yep.
It really is. No mercy. And how about this last weekend? Conor McGregor's return to the octagon couldn't have gone any better for the Irishman on Saturday. McGregor took care of Cowboy Cerrone with a TKO in just 40 seconds, thanks mainly to a brutal head kick. Just days after sounding surprisingly humble at a press conference, we got the brash Conor after the fight when talking about his potential next opponent, offering that, quote, any one of these fools can get it. It does not matter. Shannon, how much stock do you put in this win?
I didn't get a lot out of it, Skip, but I don't want to take anything away from Conor because he had a long layoff and he stopped the guy. But I think everybody can admit this. Cowboy Cerrone probably fought a year and a half, 2 years too long. Skip, that was his 50th fight.
Yep.
In that sport?
And he lost his last two.
So. By stopping.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Boxers. Fight 50 times. I mean, the old boxers, Skip, you know, they'd have 100 fights with another 150 amateur.
Mm-hmm.
But not in this sport, Skip. You don't see guys in this brutal combat sport with this many. I think Jonny Jones only has less than 25 total fights. Habib, Skip, you don't fight this long in this sport with that many fights. And what did he say? Everybody said, Cowboy. You should take him to the ground. You know, that's where your advantage is. No, I want to see if I can take a punch. Skip, let's just say for the sake of argument, I'm an alligator wrangler. I ain't fighting him in the water. Hell, he has the advantage. I feel if I get him on the ground and I can get him to his back, I got a great chance. Why are you trying to fight a man at his strength in his house?
Well, I don't think he had time to even get into his strategy.
Yeah.
well, he did come. He shot out of it like a bat out of hell. He came
Connor
straight.
Did, yeah. Yeah.
He came straight across the ring. You're like, whoa.
Think
about this. They're in the clinch, and Connor hits him with the little Duval, the little shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
It blooded his nose. Come on, Skip. Really? Now, when you ever seen somebody in the clinch and get shoulder and it bloody the nose? So you know.
I have never, ever seen that.
Really?
He didn't just bloody his nose.
Yes.
He busted it.
Yes.
He was a little bit out on his feet
right.
at that moment.
Mm-hmm. And
with
like,
a shoulder?
I'm like, come on, Cowboy. So look, I think this is a better weight for Conor. Because Conor probably walks around, Skip. I mean, he's not a big man. I say he walks around at what, 180? So to drop, get down to 170 is not much. You talking about 180?
Conor.
I say Conor looks better at this weight, at 170.
At the weight class.
Think he walks around at 180.
How much do you think he walks around at?
Maybe less?
Maybe 170, maybe.
Yeah.
You think?
I don't know.
It looked to me like Cowboy outweighed him by maybe 20.
Yeah, well, Cowboy probably walks around at a lot heavier weight. But my point is, Skip, is that him dropping 5, 10 pounds as opposed to dropping 25, 35,
I agree.
Going down to 155. Skip, I don't care what you look. Floyd Mayweather is easy to cut weight because Floyd is not a naturally big man. Floyd probably is 155. So to go down to 147 and fight or fight at 154, that's nothing for him. But
I think Floyd walks around at 155.
Yeah, I think so too.
Even after two big burgers.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem to bother him.
So to fight at 154 and a half or to fight at 147, that's nothing for him.
Yep.
But so I don't want to take anything away from Conor. He did what he had to do. But I want to see him now. He does this with Masvidal. Go get that BMF belt for Masvidal. Go fight Usman. Now we gonna talk. Yeah, Skip, look, you don't want none of that Russian bear. Leave that Russian bear alone. Leave Habib alone, because Habib ain't gonna fight you at your... Now, Habib did stand up with him and take some blows, trade some blows, but he gonna shoot him and take him down so quick he gonna be up and like, what happened? Am I dreaming that this suspended animation? Because that's how quick his feet gonna be up in the air and he gonna be on the mat.
I disagree with your final takeaway, and I will be the first to disqualify myself. I love Conor McGregor. He is the best entertainer in sports.
Yeah. He's good for business.
He's even beyond LeBron. LeBron is always wildly entertaining. Every game has a new subplot, a new sort of drama to it.
Right.
But with Conor, it's just riveting to watch him even enter the ring because you're not sure what you're going to get. So I'm going to buy his excuse that he made for the Khabib fight, that he fell into the clutches of, as he called it, that liquid that he markets, proper 12, right? Proper number 12. And he said, too much of that, and it's going to ruin and wreck your training.
Right.
And he claimed that he's backed off the bottle. I don't know if that's true or not. I think he didn't back off after the match on Saturday night.
And he also said, what did he do? He read where LeBron spends $1.5 million in his training.
Oh,
he says,
now
I'm
going to give you this. He looks so much fitter than he looked before Khabib.
Okay.
Because remember, he was coming off making approximately $100 million boxing Floyd.
It'll do that.
And I thought he did pretty well. He hung in for 10 rounds against Floyd. But $100 million will make you not want to go get your face beat in with no gloves on.
Yeah, let make you not want to get out of bed. Let me get $100 million and see.
Yeah. See, you'd still be out of bed at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, like man, Skip, you put that fresh on me, Skip. You put a lot of pressure on me.
I don't know. Hanging on an island.
So I'm going to put about 75% stock in what I saw.
Okay.
Because I told you on Friday, or even really on Thursday, after the press conference on Wednesday, I was a little concerned because Conor was so respectful at the press conference. I thought, well, have you lost your stomach for this?
Right.
Are you trying to butter him up so he won't make it hard on you? Although, after watching the press conference, I should have known that a man nicknamed Cowboy would be a big disappointment in this fight,
yeah,
right?
Hell yeah.
Because
the Cowboy. Boy, it didn't take long for the Cowboy to get up out of there, huh?
Yep. You know how those 8-8 Cowboys, and Cowboy fought like he was about 8-8, right?
Yep, that didn't help.
I just had to throw that in there.
But the
point is that Conor looked locked in from the start. He came out and threw a big left that just barely missed.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to give him some credit for not just using the front of the shoulder because it's padded with some skin.
Yeah.
But the top of the shoulder got a big old bone across it, right? And he caught Cowboy right in the nose with the back, with the bone. Uh-huh. He got him, and the bone will work.
Yeah.
If you can catch him right in his bony nose, it will burst. And he burst it, and then as Jenny pointed out, he caught him flush with a head kick, and then he caught him flush with the left. And that was the end of that story in 40 seconds.
Say what you want to say about Conor. But he did go 12 rounds with Floyd Mayweather.
He did.
I mean, 10 rounds with Floyd Mayweather. That's to be commended.
Yep.
Now, you could say, well, Floyd was 100 years old. I don't care. Floyd Mayweather is still a professional boxer, and he still had skills, even at the age that he fought Conor at. So why would anybody in that sport, unless you got those kind of boxing skills, want to stand and fight him at what he's good at? Take him to the ground, because, Skip, when you take him to the ground, you look at it when he struggled, he's gotten taken to the ground.
Okay, so I got you. But I tweeted immediately after this quote-unquote fight ended that I don't want to see Masvidal.
Why you don't want to see the BMF?
I don't want to see it. I want him to take another shot at Khabib, and I'll tell you why. I wasn't sure he could get Nate Diaz the second time because I thought Nate was just too big for him, and Nate got him on the ground in their first bout.
Right.
Remember that? But, in fact, Ernestine and I attended the second one in Las Vegas, and it was a battle. But Conor stayed on his feet the whole fight.
Right.
I believe this time Conor would be far more respectful of Khabib before the fight because he just instilled rage in him because he took on Khabib for his heritage, his wife, his culture, his religion. Can I go on? You name it, you can check all the boxes. And Khabib wanted to literally kill him, and he almost did kill him when he got him in a headlock. He choked him out.
Yeah, the ref had to hit him a couple of times to get him to turn loose.
Get him to stop. That is correct. And I thought Conor was in big, life trouble, right? Mm-hmm. I don't believe that would happen the second time. And to Dana White's point, this would be the pay-per-view bonanza of all time.
Right.
This could top any of the big boxing pay-per-views, right?
Yeah.
This could top Mayweather-Pacquiao in pay-per-view.
I don't know if he'd get that money. It'd probably do, what, 2 million? 2.5? You think he can do 2.5?
I don't know. I think it might top it just because of the fact that Khabib nearly killed him the first time. Mm-hmm. And again, it would depend on the pre-fight buildup, how they handled it. Would there still be any lingering?
But see, I like Masvidal because Masvidal going to talk that talk.
Oh, no.
He's going to talk right there with Conor.
I got it.
He said he already told him.
The problem with Khabib is he's already scheduled April 18th to fight Tony Ferguson.
Right.
So I don't know how long would we have to wait for this one. Wait
at bare minimum 3 to 4 months, Skip.
Yep. Well, I would rather see this happen sooner. I don't know if Dana can undo a fight that he's already in. I don't know
if Khabib, you think he would take it, though?
Who?
Khabib?
Khabib
said
you've got to earn it.
Yeah.
You know, like you've got to earn it back. And I don't know. If you wrote a check for Khabib.
Yeah, I know.
Said,
it's all.
Yeah, he go. Now, see, here's the thing. He's going to want Conor McGregor money. Well, you can't give two people color.
Well, as Floyd kept saying, I'm the A-side.
Right.
Khabib could say, I'm the A-side. He's not the A-side. I'm sorry.
No.
But you could go 60-40 money in that 40 if this is going to be the all-time smash pay-per-view.
Wow. Right.
That 40% of that is going to look pretty big.
I just love Masvidal. He talked that talk.
No, I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too.
He bought that action, boss.
Yeah.
He bought that.
True.
I mean, the press conference could be better than the fight.
Forget the fight. I just want to watch the... Scream the press conference. Mm. Charge him for that. Pay-per-view the press conference. That's all I want to see.
Maybe we should get Masvidal on when we go to the Super Bowl. He's Mr. Miami.
Yeah, that'll be... Okay.
Make it happen. Let's stir the pot.
Because I already know you want to put them paws on Conor.
I did like that he was back to his original self at the post-fight press conference.
He was.
He was back.
He was great.
Right about the entertainment.
Because
factor.
The uncertainty.
You can't look away from
you got to realize the last couple of times he's been in the ring, it didn't go very well,
true.
Be it the box or the octagon. So there's some uncertainty. I don't care how confident you are. You take them L's, it shakes your confidence.
No, I got it. And the one bout we did not deal with is the possibility that before Khabib comes back around, it could be Floyd and Conor boxing.
Oh, gee.
You never know.
It could.
Come on, Skip.
Well, it could.
Man, Floyd about to be 43.
That's all Conor talked about after this fight was, I still want Floyd again.
Because he knows. Let's just say for the sake of argument, they do 60-40 split. A 60-40 split with Floyd versus a 60-40 with Khabib, you talk about $100 million difference, Skip.
Yeah.
He knows if he fight Floyd again, that's $150 million.
Well, I don't know. Would people buy it the way they did the first time?
Because you know why? You're going to buy it because you want Conor to win.
There's
going to be another million, $1.5 million for that very reason.
And he was making his case after this fight Saturday night saying, I learned a lot and I know what I did wrong.
No mercy.
The Kansas City Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years after beating the Titans 35-24 yesterday. Tennessee's Cinderella playoff run, it came to an end against the high-powered offense of the Chiefs, who overcame an early deficit with 28 straight points. Patrick Mahomes not only threw for 3 touchdowns, but also scrambled for a score up the sideline on his way to 347 total yards of offense. And we're now joined by former All-Pro cornerback Antonio Cromartie. Good to have you back with us.
Glad to be back.
This is the right time to come back to the show, when things get interesting. Antonio, how impressive was Patrick Mahomes to you?
Very impressive. And when you just look at him over the last, just not this game, the last 2 games. I mean, he's thrown 8 touchdowns and ran for 1. That's a total of 9 touchdowns. You know, and when you look at what they're done, they have a slow start. They go from not playing a good game in the first, not playing a great first quarter, then all of a sudden the next 3 quarters, watch out. He's getting hot. No matter what the weather may be, no matter what's going on, he's dropping dimes on everybody. Not only that, but when you look at the touchdown run that he ran yesterday, they didn't want to tackle him.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
They didn't want to tackle him.
Maybe his agent.
Might be.
They didn't want to tackle him. And it's just the point of, like, if Sorensen hit Tannehill like he did, I mean, like, if like he did, and, the, you know what I'm saying, the Titans did the same thing,
sure,
he wouldn't have scored. But it would have set a tone for that team also, but there's no stopping the Chiefs right now.
Mm.
I don't care who you put in front of them.
Mm. Even the 49ers?
Even the 49ers right now.
Really?
So you think they got the big advantage over 49ers?
When you come from the quarterback, the speed on the outside, no three receivers and special teams, it's something to mess with now. You got to think about that. It's not just him.
What concerns me, well, we'll talk about him a little, talk about this a little later. Skip, he was special. And he's always been special. And I've been trying to tell you for the better part of 2 years, he's the best quarterback in football.
Not because, just you, the whole world.
everybody knows that, Skip. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the best. There have been a lot of quarterbacks that can spin the ball from a level plane in the pocket. But his – now, remember now, he threw this ball over 50 yards to Sammy Watkins on the move. Mm-hmm. There are very few guys that can throw the ball that far, can throw the ball with that kind of accuracy. You see the one of his first completions where he's rolling to his right and he throws the ball about 25 yards and it doesn't get higher than head high and he throws this to Tyreek Hill. Yeah. The throws that he can make, left, right, that's what makes Aaron Rodgers special, because Aaron Rodgers, we know he can throw the ball from the pocket. Mm-hmm. But his ability to throw the ball outside of the pocket and throw it with accuracy and can throw the ball over your head. Well, Patrick Mahomes is that. And I said this before, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest thrower of the football I've ever seen. And I played, I was in the era with Dan Marino. When it's all said and done, it's going to be hard for someone to say Patrick Mahomes is not the greatest thrower of the football that we've ever seen.
Mm.
Because, Skip, what he can do. And now you factor in his legs, because this is not what, look, we have some athleticism, Skip, but he's been that leading rusher the last two games, over 50 yards both times. And huge, four first down last game, four first down this time. So now this is something teams moving forward is going to have to factor in. Mm-hmm. As with Brady, I'm not worried about Brady. I was never worried about Peyton. I was never worried about Eli going anywhere. The Statue of Liberty has moved more than those three guys. And it's been there this rightful spot for over 250 years. So, but Mahomes is on a different level, Skip. And once he get going, the thing that's why they keep getting up to these slow starts, they drop everything. I'm like, dude, just catch the ball. It's not... But what you're dealing with is that Kelce and all these guys, they're a big play. And you know this, Crow. When guys are big play, they're just trying to get the hand and get the head around as quick as possible to try to face you up, to try to find somewhere to go. And then I've never seen a guy score or get a completion without catching the ball. So that's the most important thing. But he's – that was a virtuoso.
Mm.
Yeah, that was a virtuoso.
I mean, yeah, I think about it. It's a touchdown that didn't even count. The one he threw to Kelce in the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
You see that throw? Did you see that throw? I mean, it was just like...
It was out of bounds.
He got one foot.
Come on. Have mercy.
You didn't think the Sammy Watkins was a catch either, did you?
Which Sammy Watkins?
The one he threw to Sammy Watkins.
The 60-yarder?
No. The one he had the challenge on the sideline, and he ended up having the challenge.
He scraped his right foot.
Yeah!
I'll give it to you.
Get no credit, Skip.
I would like to talk about what was not special about that game yesterday, and that was Tennessee's game plans on both offense and defense, because I've never seen dumber co-game plans in any playoff game I have had to stomach and watch for four long quarters, because he gave me 10 points in this game. I lost by 11 because Tennessee decided not to go for two when they scored to cut it to, remember, to 35-24. They could have gone for two there, but no, they didn't. So you escaped by 1 point. You still owe me 37 cases.
Oh, we get it.
Diet Mountain Dew.
Wow.
You got the one.
Yeah. Counting out.
I was dumbfounded and disgusted by whatever got into Mike Vrabel, number one, and Dean Canapes, the defensive coordinator, and Arthur Just Another Smith, the new offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, because they did not, to use the Texas expression, dance with who brung them.
Mm.
The formula by which they went to Cleveland on opening day and just destroyed the Browns 43-13, that formula that they took to New England and ended the dynasty few weeks back in a playoff game. And then the formula they took to Baltimore and stopped the best team in football, quarterback by the best quarterback, the runaway MVP, Lamar Jackson, obviously, in football. That formula somehow didn't make it. I don't know, maybe they didn't pack it. I don't know what happened. It didn't make it to Kansas City. Because the first thing that happened was they go bing, 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 four plays, and they get it first and 10 down at the 16-yard line of the home team. And the home team does always start a little bit slow on both sides of the ball. And on first and 10, they go wildcat and just snap it to Derrick Henry because there's no real – they're not going to fool anybody. They're just going to give it to that big moose who runs like a deer. And he rams it up the middle for 4 yards. And then what happened? I'm waiting for 22. I need to see 22 again. And instead, the quarterback on second down drops back and throws it to nobody. To nobody. I don't know. He almost threw it to the corner. I don't know what happened. And then on third down, here we go again, and it's third and six. Do you think Ryan Tannehill is going to complete third and six? Because he's not very good. You have to keep the game out of his hands in 22's hands. Derrick Henry was... He has to be the driving force. Mm-hmm. And if you just hand it to him like five or six straight times, you do what Troy Aikman said that the 49ers did to Green Bay during the game. Troy said they have taken away Green Bay's manhood. And that was a manhood sequence right there where you had them on the psychological ropes where you could just punish them right into the end zone, push them right into the end zone. And they're going to say, God, we can't tackle this guy. This is, it's happening all over again.
I mean, you hate, Skip. You hate. This is not the time that we experiment to show everybody that Ryan Tannehill is a quarterback and he can throw the football. We'll do that at another day and time.
Okay, and then.
But see, I think about this though. I think was the second touchdown they scored. They went on a nine-minute drive.
Yes.
They kept the ball away.
Yes.
That was the whole objective of the game. Yeah. To keep the ball away. They got out of that. Like, so the game plan changed.
What was your stat?
It totally changed.
Derrick Henry had three carries for 7 yards.
Three carries. Yes.
Really? But in the first half, he had 16 for 62. That'll work. If you double that to 32 for 124, you got a shot.
But you control the clock.
But in order for this, for that game plan that you wanted to see and what we've seen the previous 2 weeks, they got to have the lead. Once Mahomes scored that touchdown right before the half, Skip, you can feel the momentum totally.
Okay, I got it.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so what did I start seeing at 17-7? I saw the, pardon my language, damnedest game plan I've ever seen used against Patrick Mahomes. And he was special yesterday. He was great yesterday. They start rushing three, sometimes four, but usually three. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, what do you do? They're spying Rashawn Evans, who's not very fast to start with. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is exactly a blazer.
He's not a blazer.
He's not a blazer.
He ran 4.8 3 years ago. He ain't running 4.8 right now.
Okay, because he looks like he's about 240 to me. But the point is, if you just rush three and he gets to dance around back there and find some, it's a track team. What do they call it? The Legion of Zoom. You know, it is the Legion of Zoom.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get open if you rush three.
Sammy Watkins, your slowest receiver.
Hey, and Sammy had a big, big day yesterday because he was the guy who was getting the worst coverage.
That was his first touchdown since week one against Jacksonville when he had three in the game. But Skip, Dean Pease was saying, look, okay, we got a 17-7 lead. The one thing, nothing cheap, nothing deep. Well, I don't want Tyreek to get on my – because I know, Skip, they got three guys that can get over your head in the blink of an eye. Yeah. So we're going to play soft coverage. We're going to make a nickel and – we're going to make you nickel and dime your way down the field. Well, if you let him get a 24-yard completion and a 15-yard completion, next thing you know – well, they're there.
Just remember, Patrick Mahomes is going to win every punt, pass, and kick contest. He's going to win it. He's too good.
There's no such thing.
If you let him stand back there and just sort of freelance, I think I'll try this throw.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to stop it.
Definitely.
Lightning is going to strike you again and again and again.
You got to make it.
Okay.
Anytime a guy like that, I'm a firm believer, you got to make him make a decision quick. If you let him pat the ball, you're not going to beat him. Okay. You're not.
But you got to think about this. You're saying if you make a guy like that make a decision quick, what he got on the outside that nobody's going to cover?
Because what they do, if you notice, they put Tyreek in the slot.
Yes.
Well, it's hard, Skip. It's hard to double him from the slot, and it's hard to get a bump on him on the slot.
And so
he eats up that cushion. So you see how fast he went around the dude on that touchdown?
Did I?
Okay. So what do we see right at now. The end of the end of 2007? I saw Tom Brady light up the NFL the way I'd never seen anybody light it up with Randy Moss.
Right.
And then what happened in the Super Bowl? The Giants rushed four.
Yes.
And they got to him.
Yes.
And they kept him under wraps the whole game.
Yes.
And he made it 14-10 with 2 minutes left, but then Eli went down and made it 17-14. Okay, so what I'm saying is, the only way to stop Patrick Mahomes, you have to put some heat on him.
You do, but here's the thing, Skip.
It's still scary.
But Spagnuolo knew Tom Brady isn't going anywhere. Now, you rush four, and you mess around and let one of those in run past him, and he can step through a lane. Now, he can step up and throw it over your head, or what he's shown you yesterday, he can run and get you 10 to 20 yards.
I'm going to put quotes around run, but that's okay.
Okay, waddle, okay. Wobble, waddle.
That's me. I didn't even think twice about it. Now I'm questioning it. He got it done.
He broke three tackles.
He stayed in.
Quote, unquote, tackle.
hey.
Come on, Skip.
They're looking for him to run out of bounds.
Yeah.
Or slide.
I mean, yeah.
And he's like, nope.
Nope.
He came close.
Oh, you don't want to tag him? Okay, I keep going.
I'll just
keep going. It's the room.
No mercy.
Guys, Super Bowl Sunday, make sure you are watching before kickoff for a pregame show you will not want to miss. This lineup, Demi Lovato, DJ Khaled, Yolanda Adams, Dan and Shay, and Pitbull. And that is all before kickoff. Don't miss the Fox Super Bowl pregame show. But Richard Sherman is on his way there, but had a little drama yesterday. He's heading back to the Super Bowl for the third time in his career. But you know what? There's at least one person out there who is not impressed. Terrell Revis took a shot at Sherman on social media, calling him out for playing zone instead of traveling with the best receiver all game. Sherman clapped back, saying Revis didn't play as well as him year 9, and told the former All-Pro to, quote, enjoy the view from your couch. And there is some history, Skip, I know, with the two of you guys. So I would like to start with you, Skip, this one. Whose side are you on here?
I am on Darrell Revis' side, as I was from the start when I found myself right in the middle of this beef at the outset, which was shortly after the 2012 season. I want to remind everybody, at that point, Richard was taking shots at everybody. Tom Brady, Roddy White, A.J. Green. And the point was that this is in March of 2013. Richard asked at that point to come on First Take with me and Stephen A. Smith.
Right.
And his point through his rep to us was that he had taken on so many people via Twitter and publicly that he didn't want to do that anymore. He just wanted to talk some off-season football. And I said, okay, we'll just open up talking about football. We were on an abbreviated show that was on regular ESPN that day in the afternoon. And I thought it was going to be fairly tame, except Richard was a little late and he wasn't quite mic'd up as the interview was supposed to start. So they asked me to sort of vamp for a moment while he got hooked up. Well, he'd been going back and forth already with Darrell Revis. And what had happened was that Richard, just for the backstory, actually started all this when in a Twitter Q&A, he was asked to rank his top 5 cornerbacks, and he didn't put Revis in his top 5. This is right after the 2012 season, early 2013. And you were close with Darrell because you were his teammate for many years with the Jets. And the point was, Richard took a shot by saying, well, he didn't even play last year, so I'm not going to put him in the top 5. And Revis fired back on Twitter. This is back then. This dude just steady putting my name in his mouth to get notoriety, which was the truth. And then Richard fired back on Twitter at Darrell. This is before the First Take, just before the First Take show. Your name will be irrelevant once you step back on the field. I'm living off performance. You're living off reputation. So that was hot, but we had decided on First Take not to do that. But as I vamped, I made the point that I know they've been going back and forth, and that right now, to me, Revis is the better corner because he's been doing it for 6 years and made 4 Pro Bowls, and Richard had only been doing it for 2. And I said, not yet. You're not yet the better cornerback than Darrell. I mean, it's Darrell. It was Revis Island. You were in the middle of all that. Mm-hmm. So Richard, I assume, heard this as he was getting mic'd up. And when Kerry Champion asked the first just sort of, you know, non-controversial question, he just exploded all over me. He got very personal about it, said he's better than at life than I am. And I'm like, what do you know about my life? Because I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But the point was that I began to argue back at him exactly what happened last night. I said, you can't consider yourself better than Darrell Revis because he travels and you never travel. And nobody had really picked up on this yet, but I said, you do not follow the other team's best receiver. You don't take the ultimate challenge game after game like Darrell does. And you know that he did take that challenge. So the point is that I finished my argument with him by saying, you are backed up by the two best safeties in pro football. You're a zone corner with Cam Chancellor behind you and Earl. That Earl behind you, because those two guys, yeah. Earl, is there anybody better than those two at that point? That was the early part of Legion of Boom, right?
Yes, yes.
So the point was that Revis couldn't help himself last night and he had to drive it back. Remember, Richard started this back after the 2012 season. And when Revis saw him give up the bomb last night to Devontae, and I don't know who was supposed to be back. Somebody was supposed to have some deep help there. And I don't know how Richard wound up man-to-man on him because it looked man-to-man when he's his own corner. But then Richard got even late in the game and basically ended the game with some double coverage. And he got behind the receiver and caught the interception that ended the game.
Well, so, Sherm tried to jump the under route. That's what Sherm tried. He was trying to get a cheap pick late in the ball game. That's what happens.
All right. Well, he did. Okay, I got it. So, again, I'm going to hang with Darrell on this just because I have so much respect for him. And I've had many arguments with Darrell about, is he better than Deion? No, he's not better than Deion. But he's better than Richard Sherman because Richard has always been nothing but the zone corner.
The way I look at it like this.
Go ahead.
I'm on Sherm's side for this. Now, I do believe that Revis at his height was better than Sherm at his best. Hmm. But Revis has been retired for 3 years. Yeah. What are you talking about now? You sitting around waiting for the man to give up. Now, forget the guy is going to the Pro Bowl in year 9. He's playing at a very high level. Now, we do remember, Revis, your last year, bro, you stole. There's no other way around it. You was bull jiving out there on the – you stole their money. And they say, you know right. what? We're not going to let you steal anymore. We're going to give you $6 million to go away. So cause they paid, they bought out the last year and they said, just go away because he was – but, Skip, back then, this is now – Revis is Sherm is still playing at a high level, and I think that bothers him. Mm. I think that bothers Revis because he's still playing at a high level. I don't know if he loved the game, but I don't know if he put the preparation in as far as physically training because as he started to get older, now Revis never had that statuesque body. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that you can't do as you begin an athlete, Skip, is you start to get old. If you don't stay in shape, that thing goes down in a hurry.
Cool. Crow knows this. Darrell didn't keep his body the way he needed to keep it.
No, I'll say the last couple of years, no. But the biggest thing, this is what I want everybody to get to. So me and Sherm, I've gone back and forth with Sherm too.
Yeah.
About the whole not traveling thing. You're not your zone corner. But yeah, you gotta think at the end of the day, it's about scheme. The scheme is not asking him to go travel. To go to this receiver or go to the receiver. The scheme is not asking him to always play man to man. The scheme, he's doing exactly what he's being coached to do. And I think everybody need to realize that we don't have to sit here and argue, oh, who's the best quarterback? Who cares anymore? If the man is out there doing his job every single day, week in and week out, that's all that should matter. Hmm. Like, me and Sherm have had a sit-down conversation. I just like, you know what? I get what you're saying now. You don't have to travel.
So you're doing.
I travel, but that was what was asked of me.
Right.
Like, at the end of the day, me and Revis, it was either 1 week I had the number one receiver, Revis had number two. Oh, he had number one, I had number two. That's what was asked of us in that defense. They're not asking Sherm to do that. They're asking him to play his zone, do what you're supposed to do. When we call the man-to-man, play it to your best.
Wait a second. I am shocked you have turned on your man.
I'm not turning. I'm not turning on anybody. Look, I've been retired for almost 3 years now. It's just time to play. It's time to
let it go
and really look at football. It's not a...
Maybe Sherm, sit Sherm, down. It sounds like Sherm won you over.
Nah, ain't nobody win me over. Because Revis still my boy. He did what he did. He went out and he played at the highest level. No, you can't take that away. The 2009 season, one of the best seasons a defensive back could ever have as a defensive back. Nobody's not going to match that. Hmm. Revis is to me like Shannon said, you put the years and year together. Revis is still the best corner. I just don't think who's travel, who's doing this. It doesn't matter anymore.
But the thing with me with Revis, he's talking like Sherman's a fourth corner. Like, bro, you a nickelback. Yeah. You're just coming on the field, and he's not that. Look.
Okay, but I think you both would agree. It's much harder to travel than a play zone corner.
Yes, it is.
Trust me, it is. It's the toughest thing you could do because you're not only traveling in man, you're traveling in zone too.
Right.
And we're going to do it.
You play left, right. You're going to play the nickel slot.
You're going to do all that stuff. But
because you have to stand in the middle of the field, wait until they break the huddle and say, oh, he's going there. I'm going to go there.
But that's what it's asked of us, though.
Right.
Because
what we're doing. Capable.
It's also what Rex Ryan defense.
I'm not sure Richard is capable of doing that.
I believe he would if they would ask him. Because you got to realize when he started, he had Brandon Browner on one side. Brandon was a very physical corner. And then he had Brett Maxfield, who once he got out of Seattle, we saw what happened when he went to Philadelphia.
Yep.
He wasn't the same. But Skip, you can only, in a defensive scheme, you can only do what's asked of you. If they don't ask you to rush the passer, his sack total is down. Well, they don't let me rush the passer. So he's complaining about Sherm. You need to get on Pete Carroll or the defensive coordinator that they don't require that of a guy that's a top-tier corner. Don't be mad at Sherm.
Hey, all I know is I watched a playoff game at Cincinnati. You might remember this. And Darrell took Chad Johnson and just took him out of the game.
It was Revis Island.
Think about this. That game also, Chad wanted to face up against him every single time. That was the whole plan. That was Chad's whole thing. Chad going to a game, hey, I'm going to get wherever Revis at, put me on his side.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? But that's the thing.
You might rethink that now. Right?
But I'm just saying, that was a competitive side. But we got to sit here and stop trying to figure out, well, if he don't travel, he's not the best.
Right.
We just got to look. Hey, if the defense don't, look at the defense and look what the defense is asking him. Like my first couple years, I never traveled. I didn't travel until I got to the Jets. They didn't ask me to travel.
Right.
Ron Rivera never asked me to travel. Wade Phillips never asked me to travel. Ted Cottrell never asked me to travel. I played the right side corner, and that was it.
And guess what? You got to the AFC Championship game because you were both traveling.
Well, I got to the AFC Championship game when I didn't travel. When I had Sherm Mamrin, Luis Castillo, Jamal Williams, all those guys, Sherm Phillips, all in front of me. I didn't have to travel. My front four, I could sit back in zone and just pick off everything. But I had to learn how to play man-to-man coverage when I got to New York because we didn't play much man when I was in San Diego.
Okay.
So I had to do that.
The reason I'm still defending Darrell is Richard started this.
Yes.
And Darrell won't let it go.
Yeah, that was 12. Think about it. That was in 2012. It's 2020.
But clearly something that he does take personally.
Darrell takes it personally.
He's as proud a player as I've ever been around.
No question.
But Skip, people remember that last year, those last couple of years.
I got it. He let his body go.
Yeah.
And you know what? He made so much money so brilliantly because he played the system like nobody's ever played the system, right?
Yes.
Okay.
At the end of the day, we all DBs. Credit, you got to get credit when credit is due.
Yeah.
The man is playing within the scheme. The man is doing what he do. And Sherm, though, hey, man, you're his own corner. I don't care what nobody say. But he understands what he's capable of, and he knows what's his liability. He knows his abilities, and he's not going to put himself in a situation where it's not in his favor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's what makes him a smart corner. He understands what his ability is. I mean, the pick last week versus Minnesota, he was in man-to-man coverage versus Thielen.
Yeah.
So what was that?
He was in man in his zone. You know.
No, it was true man-to-man. If you go back, it was man-to-man.
And he jumped
the route.
He got
a good
going
press.
To the Super Bowl right now. So, really interesting discussion.
Darrell's not going to be real happy with you now.
I'm not here to make people happy.
Okay, good. I like that.
Well, guys, Tom Brady had a busy weekend, and he made headlines saying he's open-minded about playing for another team. But it wasn't too long ago when Bill Belichick was reportedly open to moving on from Brady in New England. But as rumor has it, Robert Kraft intervened, and Belichick instead traded backup quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo away to the 49ers instead. Let's fast forward a few years later, and Jimmy G has the Niners headed to Miami looking for his first Lombardi Trophy as a starting quarterback. So, Skip, hypothetically speaking, would the 49ers have a better chance at winning it if Tom Brady was their QB instead of Jimmy G?
If Tom Brady were the quarterback of the 49ers going to this Super Bowl, they would be a 5-point favorite instead of a 1.5-point underdog. You know it, and I know it, because what is the X factor we're about to talk about for the next 2 weeks? What is the potential Achilles heel for the 49ers? Who is the guy that Kyle Shanahan will do his darndest to try to keep the ball out of his hands? It's Jimmy Garoppolo. If Tom Brady were the quarterback, he would be so much more poised because Jimmy can go deer in headlights. He's much more accurate than Jimmy G is.
Be careful.
He's just much more trustworthy under fire, especially in Super Bowls, which Tom Brady has mostly owned. He's 6-3 in Super Bowls. And to me, he's not getting any older. You think he's done, he's over the hill, he's washed up. And here's my final takeaway. If by chance, I'll knock on wood for the 49ers, if Jimmy G becomes the reason by far that they lose this Super Bowl, if he throws three picks and just completely unravels and just looks awful in the face of Patrick Mahomes, I would not be shocked if John Lynch, the 49ers GM, if he doesn't in the offseason make a play for Tom Brady, because it has been written several times they could get right out from under Jimmy G without any huge salary cap hit.
You got a situation where you can be good for the next 10 years and you're going to worry about the next 10 months with
Tom
Brady.
Can you be good? He just threw six complete passes yesterday.
Okay, well, this was over the course of a season. Jimmy G was fifth in completion percentage. Tom Brady was 27th. In yards per attempt, Jimmy G was third. Tom Brady was 27th. In QBR, the stat that Skip Bayless loves, it measures 0 to 150 being average. Jimmy G was 12th. Tom Brady was 19th. Now, I don't know if you noticed this, but in San Francisco, Jenny, they run what we call the West Coast offense. And let me give you a few names that have played in the West Coast offense. You may have heard of them. Montana, Young, Elway, Favre, Rodgers, McNabb, Mahomes, Jimmy G, Jeff Garcia. What does all those guys have in common that Tom Brady can't do? Move! If you play the West Coast offense, bootlegs, play action, naked, waggles is a big staple of what they do offensively. When was the last time Tom Brady been able to move like any of those guys I mentioned? Never, never, ever. So in other words, to make a long story short, Jenny, no, they would not be better without Tom.
Who won last year's Super Bowl? Help me out. Tom Brady did.
Who won last year's Oscar? Is he going to win it this year?
Wait a second. The Hall of Fame tight end, Shannon Sharp, tells me that George Kittle is the best tight end in football. Did Tom Brady have that guy this year? He did not have that guy.
Guess who he had? He had a guy that made the all-centennial team in Rob Gronkowski and put a 26 QBR in the Super Bowl last year.
And won it with a game-winning drive.
His sixth Super Bowl victory. He had a guy that many say is the greatest tight end of all time and had zero touchdowns with an interception.
And guess what? His coach could have had Emmanuel Sanders for him, but instead he went to Mohamed Sanu, who was a complete, according to Shannon Sharp, bust this year. Tom Brady was throwing to nobody with no protection and no run game, and if you put him behind that line with that kind of run game, he'd be happy to complete maybe 10 or 12 balls
a game, and they would be lethal. No, he wouldn't.
Lethal.
Jimmy G is the guy, because they said, you know what, we got 10 years of this, or we want 10 months of this. So we're going to take the 10 years and keep it moving.
Well,
but know your guy. Yo, get those three guys from Georgetown. The guy that everybody been saying, I know a guy that been saying this for years. Tom Brady does more with less than anybody. Now that he can't do it, he needs more.
Well, I want to see him with those three guys for the L.A. Chargers, because Philip Rivers just uprooted his family because it looks like he's pretty much done with the Chargers.
Hell, the L.A. fans wonder why he didn't do that 2 years ago. Well, did you see all those turnovers he's been creating?
Tom Brady, hottest free agent in the history of pro football. Here we go.
No, actually, that would be Deion Sanders.
That would be Tom Brady.
No, not Tom Brady. About to be at 21.
Did you make anything of in Vegas? Saying hi to some people?
Go to Vegas.
No. You mean to play for the Raiders? For John Gruden? No.
Why not?
No, it will not happen. Like I promise you, it will not
Jimmy
happen.
Jimmy G is the better quarterback at this time.
He is not.
He would be better for the 49ers moving forward.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Very foreseeable future.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
This one, always a good discussion around here.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.